Sing a verse of Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Appreciated the sweet prayer and the good words Brother Jimmy brought before us. When your mind's scattered, he said, it's sometimes better to say less than to say more. And that might make our meeting pretty short here this morning. But I pray that the Lord would just supply what we need for the time that we've gathered today. I'll be praying for Sister Leanne and whatever's going on there. I hope I didn't do anything or say anything that caused make things worse. I tend to do that. But that's nonetheless, I'm thinking about her. I know. I understand. But I appreciate it. I want to be praying for her. Young families have lots of issues that arise, and so do older families. We have things that come in our lives that can be overwhelming to us. And we just need the very best we can to pray for one another that we'll be enabled by the grace of God to turn things over to the Lord. And I feel to need that more than about anybody I know, because I often try to do a lot more than I'm able to do, which is nothing without Him. So pray for me as I'm before you this morning. You have your Bibles, I'd like to read to you from the 18th Psalm, Psalm 18. We sang from Psalm 18 this morning, the one hymn that we selected that kind of has parts to it, and I always enjoy that hymn. Appreciate Sister Linda when she calls it. It's kind of one I think of her when I think about it. But this psalm has been on my mind. Brother London had sent me this psalm to read and to think about this week, and that text that to me, and I've been blessed to be able to read and think about it, and I've shared that too, and some have read it and thought about it, and I may not speak very long, but if we can read it in your hearing, this psalm is the psalm of deliverance, a song of deliverance that David wrote by inspiration of God, and I believe sang, and I don't know how many times the saints down through the years have sung this particular psalm. You'll find this also in 2 Samuel chapter 22, beginning in verse 1, and it goes all the way to verse 51 in 2 Samuel. And I encourage you to read the two and compare them, because there are some omissions and there are some inclusions and there are some things that are identical found there, but almost every verse runs, it does run in line. There's 50 verses here, 51 verses there, and that which is in the front of this, at the subtitle, is really verse 1 in 2 Samuel 22, verse 1. And I want to read the entire thing, the entire psalm in your hearing. My comments, if I have them, will be primarily focused on probably verses 27 through verse 35, so I don't want to make anyone real nervous this morning. Y'all know a lot of times I read a lot more than I ever talk from anyway. But I do want to read it in your hearing. Before I get to talking, I'm going to do that. It says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this psalm in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. When you see that word horn, it means the strength, the power, the might of his salvation. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. That's what we say. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, and the snares of death prevented me. That means hindered me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord, and I cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple. And my cry came before him, even into his ears. Listen to the power of God. Then the earth shook. Isn't it good to pray to a God who can shake the earth?
Amen.
And trembled. The earth shook and trembled. Big as the earth is, God shook it, trembled it. The foundations also, the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. You don't want to anger the Lord. We have a God who has all power. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth, devoured. Coals were kindled by it. Here we see spiritual language that talks about the power of Almighty God and the judgment of Almighty God and the righteousness of Almighty God and the strength of God. You look at the heavens and get overwhelmed. He bowed the heavens also. You know, just look up into the sky and think, oh, how great they look, how wonderful they are. But I'm telling you, the God who made them is greater than all those heavens. He bowed the heavens and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. You get in the dark? Well, you're dealing with a God who makes darkness his secret place. Reminds me of Psalm 91, doesn't it? His secret place. His pavilion, that is, that shelter that he's given us. Round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. Here we're seeing the power of God and the judgment of God, the holiness of God, the righteousness of God. Really what David is saying, our God is big and mighty and powerful. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest, that's his name, the highest, gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. What he's saying is, if you think you have enemies, remember the friend that you have in the Lord, because he's greater than all the forces and the powers of evil that would be against us as God's little children, whomever it is, even Satan himself. Our God is mighty, and nothing can stay his hand. No one can say unto him, what doest thou? He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. Now that word waters is talking about troubles. It's talking about the troubles that overwhelm you, the troubles that break your heart. But we've got a mighty God, and he sent from above, and he took me, and he drew me out of many waters. When he draws you out, you don't jump up into his arms. He reaches down to where you are. So don't worry if you can't move, if you can't do anything. We have a God who reaches where we are in the troubles, and he draws us out. He delivered me from my strong enemy. Isn't that good? The old devil thinks he's got all power, and he'll try to convince you he's got it. He'll try to convince you that you can't make it. He'll try to convince you that you can't do anything. And he will if we If we don't resist Him, if we don't go to Him in the strength of the Lord, if we don't wear the armor the Lord gives us, if we don't fight the battle, if we don't use the Word of God, if we don't live our lives by the Word of God and trust in this Lord, He will destroy our lives. How many of even God's little... He can't take the eternal destiny of God's little children, but He can sure make your life a wreck and a mess. That's why we ought to be praying for one another this morning. Lord, help us. Lord, strengthen us. It says, He delivered me from my strong enemy. I believe David could mention Saul, he could mention Satan, he could mention all the enemies that he faced. But if you read 1 Samuel and you read the life of David, you'll see time and time again the strong enemies came at David, and really they were really attacking the Lord Jesus Christ. Because remember, Christ was of the seed of David. And if He could wipe out David, He could wipe out the son of David. And the reason He couldn't wipe out David is because the hand of the Lord was upon David, because from the loins of David there came a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who had to be born in Bethlehem, Judea, and there was nothing that was going to cause that not to be. The lineage was protected by the mighty hand of God despite whatever men may do. David messed up a whole lot. And when you read down here, and let me keep reading. They prevented me, hindered me in the day He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. Listen to David. You feel like you're overwhelmed. I can't make it. The problems are too big. The troubles are too much. Oh, remember the one that we serve. I believe He's a mighty God, don't you? Greater is He that is in you than he that is in all the world. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. He prevented me in the day of my calamity. Oh, get this. But the Lord was my stay. The Lord was my strength. The Lord was my help. The Lord was my support. We've got support. We need a support. Sometimes we think we need a support group. And God's church is a great support group and a great blessing. But I'm telling you, if we didn't have a support better than us, if you didn't have a support better than me, you'd be in trouble. If I didn't have a support, don't get this wrong, but if I didn't have a support better than you, I'd be in trouble. Because all we do is look at each other and all of us fall apart. But we've got one who is our stay, don't we? We got one who's a strong support. We just read about His power and His might. He says, the Lord, He brought me, He says, they hindered me. When He says they prevented me, they hindered me in the day of my calamity. That means in the day of my trouble, these forces were great for me. But then He says, but the Lord was my stay. He's my support. He brought me forth also into a large place. Isn't it good when you feel in the tight constraints of the bondage of this world, and then the Lord just sets you free and brings you into a place where you feel like this is a wide place, it's a broad place. I can't see anything but the good of the Lord in the land of the living. That's all I can see. That's all I can feel and understand. And it takes the Lord to reach down and bring us out of that place. We can talk to one another and should. We can help one another as much as we can, but it takes the Lord to open the eye and the ear and the heart and give you the understanding. He delivered me. You know why? Because He delighted in me. Have you ever thought about why the Lord would ever delight in us? Why would the Lord ever delight in me? You ever thought that? I hope you have thought that. Why would the Lord delight in you? You know why? Because He wanted to. He had a love for you before the very foundation of the world. When He, there in a covenant of grace before the foundation of the world, when God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit laid out and purposed the plan of redemption, that was the purpose, God's purpose in redeeming His people. It was the love of God for His people that gave them to His Son. It was the love that the Son had for them that He came here into this world. And it's the love of the Holy Spirit that comes in our hearts and makes us alive. God had showed us mercy because of His great love. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together. And the scripture says this very clearly and plainly, by grace you are saved. I'm glad we can sing Amazing Grace today. He says, for the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. And that immediately we read that and go, how in the world did David get rewarded because of his righteousness? It wasn't because of his righteousness. And it's not because of my righteousness today. And it's not because of your righteousness today. It's because of his righteousness that is as much yours as it is his, because he gave it to you. When he died on the cross, he took away your sins and removed them from you. But he didn't just do that. He gave you his righteousness. So that when the Lord deals with us, he does so on the merit of Jesus and what he did on the cross. And therefore, when you pray and ask for things on the merit of not what you've done for the Lord, but for what Jesus did for you. And he did it perfectly. He did it well. He kept every jot and tittle of the law. He didn't do it halfway part of the way and leave it up to you to get the rest of it done. He did everything that was necessary, that heaven is open for you. And not only that, when you're in trouble, you can go to the Lord. And based upon the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, he hears your prayer, he hears your cry, and he answers according to the riches of his grace. Now, how rich is our God? Why should we be afraid today? We should be saying this to one another over and over again and telling this to one. We should be singing this song of deliverance right along with David, because it wasn't just David's song of deliverance. It's my song of deliverance and your song of deliverance that we can say along with him. He says, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. Not David's hands physically, but the perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ. David was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. David was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in his sinful acts, but he's laid out in the Word of God. Remember how this Messiah is called the Son of David again and again in the New Testament. And in the Old Testament. And here we see the perfection that was in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was according to the cleanness of the hands of Christ hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. And I believe David in part walked in that, but he didn't walk in that imperfection, did he? No, David was just like all the rest of us. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if it was based on our perfections, then we would not be have any expectation of receiving a single blessing from the Lord. He says, for all his judgments were before me, and I did put away his statutes from me. And all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. I believe that David made a strong effort to fall after the Lord and was a king like no other king that they had. But he still messed up along the way. And all you have to do is read Psalm 51 and you'll see David begging God for forgiveness and asking God to create in him a clean heart and a right spirit, because he had messed up along the way. And that's a great lesson for us to know also. We're to come to the Lord and ask for, clean my hands, Lord. Clean my life, Lord. Help me walk close to thee. Help me, Lord, be repentant. And in my heart, ask thee, dear Lord, for the help that I stand in need of. He says, and I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. How was David's hands clean? Through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And with the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful, and with an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright, and with the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the fraud thou wilt show thyself fraud. Verse 27. He says, for thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. And as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord, and who is a rock save our God? There's our song again. It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken in mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps unto me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them, neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued unto me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their close places. The Lord liveth. Here we go. And blessed be my rock. And let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people unto me. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou deliverest me from up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and sheweth mercy to his anointed, to David, and to his seed forevermore. So we see in this psalm, not only is the promise here and the song David's, but it's to David's seed, that is the children of God, those that are in Christ Jesus, each and every one of God's elect family. So we can claim that this morning. Verse 27. He says, for thou wilt save the afflicted people. Aren't you glad he's going to save the afflicted people? But will bring down high looks. Over in Luke chapter 17, we read a parable there that the Lord gave to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And in that parable, he identifies two men that went up into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, and the other a publican. And in this short parable, beginning at verse 9 and chapter 18, he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. He says, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. Over in this psalm he said, For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down high looks. I believe God's children can also develop high looks. Man by nature has high looks. He thinks high of himself. That's his man through the pride of his countenance. He won't seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. But it's not just the man of the world that has problems with high looks. It's also God's children. Not only because we have a nature in us that's still there, that we still have to battle, that can get those high looks, where we start looking down on others and become very much like this man. Both of these men went to the temple to pray. Both of them went to worship. But one went to the temple with high looks. He went there and he said, Lord, I thank thee that I'm not like other men are. He was really messed up there already. Because each of us are what? Just like the rest of us. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none of us that are good. No, not one. We all are the children of wrath by nature, even as others. And I have no reason to be able to look on anyone and think more of me than I do of them, because without the grace of God, what a wretch I am. And even after His grace, there's still that part of me that's not yet finished, that God is working on in my life, that I still have to contend with. And I need to keep that old part under subjection. And so do you. We as God's children are told here that God will save or deliver the afflicted people. Which means we need to recognize, Lord, I need Thee. We need to recognize what David said, that my God is high and mighty, but I'm not. I can't handle it. God can handle it. When I get to thinking I can handle it, I've got some high looks. Well, I get to be like this old Pharisee that says, I thank Thee, O Lord, I'm not like other men are. He began to point out those men, extortioners and unjust and adulterers, or even as this publican. He could name the sins that they committed. He didn't think about what he had done, but he thought about what they had done and was able to point that out. Remember what the Bible says, that he that humbles himself shall be exalted, but he that exalts himself shall be abased. That is to be laid low. Brethren, where would you rather be this morning? Would you rather be exalted in the presence of the Lord, or would you rather be abased in the presence of the Lord? Part of that will depend. As a little child of God, it depends on how we come before the house of God. Are we humbling ourselves as the Bible tells us to do in 1 John and in James? How we're to humble ourselves before Almighty God. That means I need to remember what I am and how much I need Him. This verse helps me do that. He said, for thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down high looks. He goes on and he says, I fast twice in the week. I'm glad I'm not like other people, and I'm sure glad I'm doing everything I'm doing. Boy, that's a dangerous place to get. Somebody said, well, that's only the man of the world that can get that way. Remember a Laodicean church that was lukewarm. They were neither hot nor they were cold. And their problem was, over in Revelation 3, that church had felt, we're rich and we're increased with goods and we don't need anything. I'll tell you, an old Baptist church that feels to be rich and increased in goods and don't need anything are in a dangerous place, because they're about to be spewed, which means to be vomited out of the mouth of the God of heaven. And that doesn't mean to be eternally cast away, but it does mean we'll lose fellowship with Him. And oh, I need Him, don't you? I need to feel His presence. I need to feel that He's with me. Therefore, today it's very important that I come and remember that without the grace of God, I can't do anything. And I want to come as the afflicted and poor person that I am. Listen, we all are afflicted and poor, but are we sensible of it? Do we recognize it? This man, the Lord wasn't teaching that this Pharisee was all good and righteous. He was teaching he didn't know where he was and who he was. And this publican did. He goes on and he says, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the scripture says, and I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. And I want to give you this verse. He says, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Over in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6, very familiar language, I'm sure, to you. He says this. In verse 6 of 1 Peter chapter 5, he says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Now when you see a therefore, there's a reason it is there. So let's read a little before that. He says, likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. That means I should look over this congregation and not see myself as the head or better than anyone, but I should see myself as one of the least of the brethren. What did the Apostle Paul tell us? He said it's a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And if that's not my feeling legitimately in my heart, I need to be on my knees before Almighty God, telling Him to break my heart and bring me to a place where I see myself as the least among God's little children, that I might humble myself, as He says here, For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. And so when we look to the Lord and we lean upon Him and we don't trust in ourselves, He gives grace to the humble. He says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Y'all believe He'll do that? I know that He will. We lean and depend upon Him. He says, for thou wilt, and going back to Psalm 18 and verse 27, He says, for thou wilt save the afflicted people, will bring down high looks. Verse 28. We may just close with verse 28. I got into the other part of it a lot more than I thought I would, and that's okay. Felt a lot more liberty then than I am feeling right now. So, you know, when you run out of liberty and the light goes off, it's time to stop. Not time to keep going. But let's get verse 28 and close. He said, for thou wilt light my candle. Do you need Him to light your candle? I do. That means He's my lamp. If you go over into 2 Samuel 22, you'll say that for the Lord is my lamp. That's what it means. But I love that statement, don't you? He's going to light your candle. You feel like you're in the dark, the Lord's going to light your candle. I want to tell you that today. The Lord, if you feel in the dark, the Lord's going to light your candle. How do I know that? God's Word says it. He says, for thou wilt light my candle. The Lord, my God, will enlighten my darkness. I want you to know, He said, for not I will light my candle, but thou wilt light my candle. And who is the thou? He's the Lord, who is my God. I say He's worthy of our trust, and great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised is our God. And may we do it better and better and better. And I had intended to talk some from Ephesians 6 about the whole armor of God. Y'all read that, about the whole armor of God and how we're to put it on. And as you read these verses, you'll see the whole armor of God's laid out right here in Psalm 18 of what we're to put on. The shield, carrying the shield of faith, wearing the helmet of salvation, putting on your feet. He makes your feet like hinds' feet. That means you can climb on the mountains, you can run fast, you can leap over a wall, you can do whatever. What does that mean? That means whatever God would have us to do in a spiritual way, in the battles of this life, you have the armor of God that will give you strength to handle whatever comes in your life. Isn't that good news today? He's going to light your candle. He's going to give you just what you need. I'm not done, but we're closing the book. Pray for me. We love you. And may the Lord bless you. Y'all read. Be sure to read Ephesians 6. Put on the whole armor of God. Carry the word of God. Put it on in your life. Really, you're talking about putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're talking about living for Him. You're talking about recognizing I can't breathe without Him. I can't make it a day without Him. I need Him. I need Him to help me study His word. I need Him to help me apply it to my life. I need it in my walk, in my talk, in my behavior, in my conversation. And one day I'm going to leave this world. I'm going to be made like unto Him. And we'll be with the Lord forever and ever. But until that time, help me, Lord, be faithful to fight the good fight of faith until He comes again. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.